Amen. Matthew 24, if you'll look there with me this morning. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. I'm going to read here beginning with verse number 3 and read down through verse 14. Matthew 24, verse number 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." I've been around this all of my life. I've been in church all of my life. I've been around preaching, holiness preaching, Pentecostal preaching all of my life. And I have heard, especially as a child and as a young person, I heard this continual theme repeated over and over. And that is, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. I've heard it a lot of times. As a young person or as a child in church, a lot of choruses that we sang had to do with this very topic. There was one that we sang called, "He's coming soon, he's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning." Remember that one? Some of you, you're looking at me like you never heard of that before. He's coming soon, he's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. I grew up on that kind of singing about the coming of the Lord and messages about the coming of the Lord. As a child, I can remember sitting in the pew with, you know, almost fear gripping my heart, because the preacher, he spoke it with such conviction. But I was afraid that before that service was over, the Lord was going to come, I was going to be left behind. We live in a different time now. Not as much is said about it. Certainly not as much as sung about it. And so as a result, we don't think about it as much. But I think today, we have to open our eyes, especially our spiritual sensitivities, And look to the fact that things are happening fast. They're happening all around us. There's so many things happening that I can't even keep up with all these news events, but I know that they are all part and parcel to the plan of God. They're like pieces of the puzzle, and God is bringing it down to a time, and very, very soon, the Lord is going to come. And I trust that we are not caught unaware, because we are not we are ignoring the signs. We're not paying any attention to what's happening to us. We're certainly not relating it to the fact that these end time events and all of these things that are happening all around our world right now speak to the fact that he's coming soon. And that as a church, we need to be looking at the circumstances from a biblical perspective. As a church, have a doctrinal statement, fundamentals of faith that we believe in, and then we have also emphasized the four cardinal doctrines. Salvation. Which one's next? Divine healing. Give me another one. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the fourth one is the second coming of Jesus. Four cardinal doctrines of the church that we believe, and not that we don't believe the others, not that they're not as important. It's just that those are the four basic cardinal doctrines. That's what we believe. We believe that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We believe in the imminent return of Jesus. You probably have heard that term a lot, but it just simply means that the return of Jesus for his church can happen at any moment. The return of Jesus Christ could happen today. It could happen before this service is over. His coming could happen at any moment because we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Amen. The early church, the first century church, believed that Jesus was coming back. He had ascended unto heaven. And he said, just like I went away in the clouds, I'm going to come again in the clouds. And they lived every day expecting he was coming back. And the church, there's something about the effect of that kind of a desire to see him come. I've told this before. I'll tell it again. Myself and my two brothers, I'm the oldest. When we were little bitty guys, we would, in the evening, we knew when our dad was coming home. We were blessed because there's a lot of families that don't have a dad that came home every day. But my dad went to work early in the morning, and he came home at 10 minutes till 5 every evening. That's when. He got off work at 4:30, and by 10 minutes to 5, his truck would turn the corner, and myself and my two younger brothers were sitting out there in the front yard, at the edge of the front yard where it dipped down. There was like a ditch at the front of the yard there at that time. And we would sit there, us three little guys would sit there with our head turned that direction, and we saw the truck when it turned, and we sat there a lot of afternoons with an expectancy. Our dad was coming home, and we knew that he would. We knew that he could. He would. He always did. And we lived with that kind of excitement and anticipation. Dad was going to come home. He was probably going to be too tired to fool with us. But every once in a while, he would get out in the backyard and throw the ball with us, and he would do things with us. So we had an anticipation. Little boys look to their dad. Not that little girls don't, but little boys look to their father, and we look to our dad and with an expectancy. I think that the church needs to be sitting out there on the edge, expecting and waiting on Jesus to come. Our mind is on him. Our heart is fixed upon him. We know what he has promised. We know he never will let us down. He's going to fulfill his word, and he's going to come. And he's going to come soon. And so as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be living with that kind of an expectancy, and we're not to ignore the signs of the times right now. When the disciples asked the question about the coming of the Lord, when they asked the question, then Jesus answered them. And I'm going to put into just a three-point nutshell what Jesus said to them. Number one, the first thing he said is, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That the last days are going to be characterized by an environment of deception, spiritual deception. And so don't be caught off guard. Don't be gullible. Don't fall prey to everything that's going on around you. Stay true to God. Stay true in your commitment to the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. And remain true to your commitments and to your convictions. Don't waver. If the Lord burned it into your heart in an altar of prayer, just because everybody else is doing something different does not mean you should change now. Stay with it. If the Lord has spoken to you and dealt with you and convinced you and convicted you, then you stay in that place of commitment to the Lord, because the environment now is deception. Deception. And the only way to counter a deceptive spirit is with the truth. Know the truth. Live the truth. Walk according to the truth of God's Word. Stay in the Word. And take advantage of every opportunity that you have to read it, to hear it taught, to hear it preached, to be in a place where you can hear the voice of the Lord, so that truth will be the stabilizing force in your life in an age when there's such deception. Scripture says, Paul warned Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. There's a lot that's said there in those couple of verses. But basically, what the Apostle Paul told Timothy there, he was telling them, don't allow yourself to fall prey to evil men who are seducers, who want to pull you away from your commitment to God and drag you away from the Lord and away from the things of God. Stay with the truth. Amen. Stay with the things you've learned, the things that you've been assured of, the things that have been tried and proven. You've seen them work. You've seen God bless and fulfill His promises. Stay with the things that can be counted true and faithful. Don't be taken in by the lies. Don't be deceived. That's what Jesus said. You'll be deceived if you ignore the Word of God and try to explain it away. Amen. Everybody has an answer. Everybody has an answer. Today, people are using the Bible to defend a perverted lifestyle. They're using the Bible to defend all kinds of evil and wickedness. And they'll say, well, I know they believe that, but I think it's this. It's not important what you think is true. You have to stay at what the revelation of God's Word. Amen. God said it, and it's the truth. It's something that we must live our lives by. You can't ignore the Word of the Lord. It comes to us like a hammer many times and crushes us. Sometimes it's like a two-edged sword that deals with us not only on the surface, but deals with the motives of our heart, the very depths of our heart. And divides asunder soul and spirit, those things in our life. Don't be deceived, but allow the Word of God to be your stabilizing force in these last days. Don't be deceived into believing that God's grace means that God is lenient towards sin. Did you hear what I said? Don't be deceived into thinking that God's grace is a license to sin. It is not. God did not provide His wonderful grace to us so that we could continue in our sin. He provided grace so that that grace of God would teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly things of the flesh, and to stay away from the influences. The grace of God leads us to Jesus. The grace of God also keeps us from the influences of this world. Don't be deceived into thinking the grace of God is an insurance policy that covers everything and every failure and every sin that you ever committed. I'm grateful for His grace and His mercy. I'm grateful that when I do fall, when I do make big mistakes, that I do find mercy and grace. But I don't find God giving me a license to keep sinning and to stay in my sin. He doesn't do that. That's the deception of the hour. Don't be deceived into accepting sin just because it's accepted by some. Don't be deceived into believing the lie of the enemy Don't fall prey to that. Don't be deceived by believing that the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church is an outdated doctrine that has no place in the church. Don't believe that. Don't allow yourself to be convinced of that lie. It's this wonderful doctrine of the soon imminent coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that those that have this hope in them, they purify themselves. If you believe that Jesus is coming and could come at any moment, then it's going to cause you to stop and you're going to live a little more cautiously and carefully, because this might be the day that Jesus comes. So the first warning sign that Jesus gave to them was, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The second one is found in verse 6. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. And it goes on, it describes nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. First of all, don't be deceived. Number two, don't be troubled. Now, literally what this word means is to be stopped or to be paralyzed. Don't allow all these things that are going on in our world today. If you're paying attention to the news, by the end of the day, if you've heard or seen very much of the news, then you could probably hardly sleep at night. It's so troubling and so concerning what is happening almost in every avenue of our world today. And so when Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, don't be troubled, don't be stopped, don't be paralyzed, don't be put in a position that you're unable to function or do the will of God. Understand, it's all a part of God's plan. As evil and awful as it is, God's not caught off guard. He's not surprised. And He intends for you and me, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep plugging on. Amen. To stay occupied, busy, working, doing what the Lord has called us to do. Don't be troubled. It's all a part of the fulfilling of God's plan and purpose. All of the wickedness, all of the lawlessness that He describes here in the last day. Verse 12, iniquity. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Don't be troubled by that. Don't allow your... Now, sure, there's a concern. There's a normal level of concern. But this word is describing to us that we're not to be put... allow this to get us into a position that we can't even really function. We lose heart. We're paralyzed. We can't really do the will of God in these last days. That's not the will of God. There's certainly a level of concern that all of us have, that we're troubled by things that are happening in the world. And it describes iniquity, which means lawlessness. That's where we are right now. When the authorities, the police, are all put in a position of hundreds and thousands of people who are opposing the police, maybe because a few police officers have done some terrible things, and so then they rise up to resist authorities in our land. That's the spirit. They are fulfilling the word of God and the thing that Jesus warned us about. Iniquity literally means lawlessness, because iniquity, lawlessness is abounding. It's having an effect upon the church. Upon the people of God, the love of many is waxing cold. The church is being affected by all the spirit of lawlessness and iniquity that's around us today. Jesus warned those disciples, don't be deceived and don't be troubled. Don't be stopped. Don't be hindered by all these things that are happening around you. Don't let them stop you from fulfilling the plan of God and the word of God, the will of God. In these last days, we're dealing with a spirit of Antichrist. If you're serving Jesus Christ, then you are going to be hated, the scripture says. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be opposed. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, standing in the pulpit and declaring the whole counsel of God may become a crime in the United States of America. We may come to a place that we are despised and hated, even our own community, just because we are standing for what thus saith the word of the Lord. If that day comes, we have a responsibility to not be deceived or not to be troubled. We can't be hindered or stopped. We have to press on. and do the will of the Lord. And don't allow this spirit of Antichrist to affect us. Jesus warned that there would be those that would, as a result of the spirit of lawlessness, that their love for God would go cold. They would lose their heart and their interest in the things of God. I said to this pastor that called me the other day, who said, I can only get out of my 50 or 60, I can only get maybe 15 or 18 to come Sunday night. I said, yeah, and I'd say that if you called a picnic or a ball game, they'd all come. He said, they just seem so tired and weary, and they just don't have the strength to come out to another service. That I remember, I can rewind back to when I was a kid. We had church on Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And when a church is in the throes of a move of God and a revival, then there is a hunger for God, a desire for the Word of God, a desire for the presence of God. There's a longing to be with the people of God. And you won't allow just any little old thing to throw you off course and say, I'm too tired. I can't go. I don't have the strength. Don't have the energy to be there. Understand that there is a spirit of these last days that wants to keep you away from the very things that you need. Amen. Don't be troubled. Don't allow the enemy to stop you. And then the third thing, verse 13 and 14, he said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And notice verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You say, well, haven't we done that? Haven't we sent nations or missionaries to all the nations of the world? There are countless hundreds of mission fields that missionaries can't get to. If they go there, then they are laying their life down. They will probably suffer persecution and likely loss of life if they go there. There are many nations of the world. The word there, all nations, is really ethne, or the ethnic group, ethnic groups. Groups of people around the world, nations of the world, ethnic groups. There are even now there are over 1,000 of these different language groups that don't have the scripture translated for them. They couldn't even read the get a Bible that they could read. It's not available to them. And so these ethnic groups have not heard the gospel. And it says the Lord is not coming until the gospel of Christ is taken to all of these ethnic groups. That's the reason why that as much as we have ever been involved in the work of world evangelization, we need to be involved in it now more than ever. We need to be praying for our missionaries. We need to be expanding our missions program. And I know you think I'm crazy because we already support 40-some missionaries. You probably think I'm nuts. But the reality is this, that we're just barely even touching the edge of a possibility that there is out there in our world. And so we need to be praying. We need to be involving ourselves. We need to be giving financially more and more than we have ever given to the work of world evangelization. Amen. Don't be intimidated by what's going on. Something's went haywire here. Don't be intimidated by the things that are going on in our world, but instead, use all these things that are happening. Instead of them paralyzing us, stopping us, let it be something that propels us. Let it be something that motivates us, that gives us a newfound zeal and a courage. Amen. So that we can really fulfill what God has called us to do in these last days. I believe that in these days, the enemy would love to stop the growth and the expansion of the kingdom of God. He wants to hinder those that are involved in missions works, in evangelizing. I've got myself involved in this homeless shelter thing, and I told them, I said, I've got several irons in the fire. I don't know what time I can offer, but they asked me, and so I said, I'll do what I can. I'll do my part. I'll try to help as much as I can. And I think that we're all just going to have to be willing to stretch ourselves
to do more, to be more involved, to touch them if they're on the streets of London, Kentucky, if they're in the region of Southeast Kentucky, if they're in some foreign nation. We need to involve ourselves in preaching the gospel in all of the world for a witness to all the ethnic groups. All of these groups that don't have a Bible, that don't have the Word of God even translated for them. But understand that God has called us to reach them. I think we're all aware of the great need. Whenever I read, I know all that you're hearing in the news is the evil associated with Islam. And I believe that Islam is an evil, wicked religion. I do believe that. But I also know that there is a move of God among those that are in the darkness of Islam. There's a move of God. God is working. And there's a hunger. Everyone that I'm reading after that's involved in the work of the Lord in those Islamic nations, they are experiencing amazing moves of God. Their hearts are open to the things of God. Sure, they're under terrible persecution, but God is opening doors and He's softening their hearts. And there are many that are accepting the call to go into the nations of the world where there are 1.7 billion that are in the darkness of Islam. 1.7 billion people. There's almost a billion people that are in the darkness of Hinduism. If you can imagine those huge religions that are full of hate and darkness and murder and abuse and horrible things that go on there, that God, by His Spirit, is moving among those people. And you can go online and read about this. It's one, some of the most exciting things I've ever read. That there's a website called Live Dead. Live Dead. And I know it's a strange name, but it's a group of missionaries that have determined that they are going to live their life because they've already died out to themselves and just said, I'm not going to die until Jesus is ready for me to die, but I'm going to die now unto Christ and to His plan and His will. And so I'm going to live dead. I'm going to live my life as if I'm already dead, and I'm going to go where He calls me. If it's into those Eastern African countries that are filled with Islamic hatred, wherever that it might be, God is moving. There's such an amazing revival among those that are bound in Islam. And many times when they share with a group of Muslims, they'll find out that they have been having dreams about Jesus. They have been having dreams about the gospel. And many times that God gives them a dream and lets them know that the missionary's coming. And they're waiting for them to get there. I'm telling you, folks, we are close to the coming of the Lord. God is moving even in the darkest regions of this world. And so the warning that Jesus gave those disciples was, don't be deceived, don't be troubled or stopped, don't be intimidated by the things that are happening in our world right now. Don't be intimidated by it, because God is raising up an army of people who are saying yes to the Lord. You might not travel to a nation of Islam, but I want you to know that God has called you and me, all of us, to get ourselves involved in reaching these people, to praying for these various unreached groups, to giving to them, to investing in missionaries that are going into those nations, because Jesus is going to come really soon, and He is going to send forth people into the harvest field who are willing to live their life for the cause of Jesus Christ, and they are not going to be intimidated by the lies of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming. Are you taking notice of the signs of the times? What's going on? Are you considering the fact that all of these evil things that are happening in our world right now are all part of the puzzle of God's great scheme and plan to bring this dispensation to a close? And then the Bible says that there's going to be a trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to meet Him there in the air. Glory to God. What a wonderful promise. I understand that the word rapture, and someone asked me about this the other day, the word rapture is not a Bible word. But the word parousia is a Greek word, and it's in 1 Thessalonians, it's in 1 Corinthians, it's in the book of James, another book of the Bible, Hebrews, I think. The same word is used. The Greek word parousia just means a catching away or a gathering. Amen. And so it's from that that our word rapture has developed, that Jesus is going to come and he's going to catch away the church. This parousia is getting ready to take place as soon as we complete the task that we've been called to complete. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's not ignore the signs, but let's stay busy for the kingdom of God. Let's stand together. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful hope that we have of your soon return. And Lord, I pray that if there are those that are in this meeting today that are not saved, they're not ready, Lord, for the coming of Jesus, Lord, that they would not put it off another day. But Lord, this very day, Lord, they would come to you. They would be born again. They would repent of their sins and surrender their lives to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they would be ready for the soon coming of the Lord. I ask you, Lord, to speak to the young and to every age group in this sanctuary today. Lord, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would fall upon all of our lives, all of our hearts, and we'd recognize our need for you, Lord. Lord, would you save the lost today? If there are those here in this service, Lord, would you convict their heart and help them to see that they need you? They need you desperately in their life. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you see all these things that are happening as signs and evidences of his soon return? Oh, he's coming soon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.